quality H2O. Oh, praise God. So, I've been working on a message, and the other day I'm sitting out there and I'm studying, I'm looking up definitions, and the whole time I'm doing that, every time I'd see a word, I'd run off and I'd be preaching another message. I'm like, Lord, that's not the right message. And I realized last night that God was pumping the brakes on me on that one, that it wasn't for today yet. It's coming. Part of it's going to come out today. But the Lord really stirred in me, especially earlier this morning, that the church as a whole has gotten away from what God said his house should be. Come on. So much for element of surprise. All right, Jason, would you, or Kayla, would you advance that for me? Isaiah 56, 7 says, even then. Okay, yeah, we're going to have to make an adjustment to that. I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. That's all people. Doesn't matter what your nationality is. Doesn't matter what your religious background is. Doesn't matter what your financial standing is. It's for all people. We prayed for people in California, people we don't know. I didn't ask for just one group to be protected. We pray for all of them. Because as long as they're alive, if they don't serve Jesus Christ, they have a chance. And that's what we should be standing on. And so, you know, this was just really going around in me about this. I'm like, house of prayer. It matters something that three out of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all record the same incident, and they recorded it pretty much the same. After Jesus had made a whip, he went into the church, and he turned over tables, and he kicked over cages, and their money changing. And he looked at him, he said, my house, he quoted this scripture, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. I have been in some churches where they literally had a store in the back corner. Ladies and gentlemen, this was not a store of Bible supplies. This was jewelry that the pastor's wife had made, and the funds went to her. Now, God forbid me if I have judged that in error. That, in my opinion, and this was in the sanctuary. It's not out in a little room. It's in the sanctuary. This is the Holy of Holies, ladies and gentlemen, if we were going to represent it like that. This is where we come in and we worship. We shouldn't be thinking about, I wonder what piece of jewelry is over here today. I wonder what book pastor has written. God dealt with me actually before that and then really solidified it shortly after that incident. We give away CDs. Now, thanks to the internet, I just tell people go to the website and you can listen to all of them. Katie is vigilant on getting them back on there. So as long as they have recorded. But we have, well, it's a way to make money. I'm not about making money. The body of Christ is not about making money. The body of Christ is about touching lives, reaching souls. God has showed us time and time again here his faithfulness, his goodness. If we ask him, if he tells us to sow a seed, we sow the seed. But I will not manipulate a message so that you keep giving extra. so that something else can happen. I thought about it the other day, and I just thought, Lord, thank you. Our building's paid for. I knew a church that was built in about 1980. Three of the head elders actually had to put their lives on the line for that. They signed, maybe four. They signed financially for the obligation. And they built this big church. And I honestly do not know for sure when it got paid for, but I know there were many times they had a hard time making the mortgage. And so it was upon those elders to make sure that that payment got paid or they lost their stuff. But God has moved. Why? Because of obedience to his word. I didn't want to buy a junkyard. Some of y'all remember it. This was a junkyard. There are still car parts coming up in the parking lot. And FYI again, if you ever see a little green strap, pick it up, please. It belongs to my tractor. So there's part John Deere out there too. But God has moved. We've paid for it. We've remodeled it. We've done lots of things because God is good. I mean, how simple is it? God is good. Well, there's also something else, especially when God really started dealing with me. And those were the scriptures. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Not just once a month. Every week. Now, I'm not going to pray for your standard prayer stuff at home. You do that on your own. This praying for other people is what we do. Now, one of the things I had to... This is where the stuff I was studying out is going to cross over, was the word submit. That's a big, nasty word to most people. Because the word submit has a couple different definitions. One of them is you have to place yourself under somebody else's authority. When I went to boot camp, I had to submit my bladder to somebody else. Sir, recruits got to make a head call. No, you don't. You're right, sir, I don't. Never mind, my eyeballs were floating. You held it. I'm pretty sure my drill instructors were all dads. Dad, I got to pee. No, you don't. Oh, you're right, I don't. We aren't there yet. Submit means to put yourself under somebody's authority. One of the other ones is to submit like a paper. You teachers understand this real well, or you have to give that up. If I take a test, Joe, and I bring you the test, and I give it to you, and I come back an hour later, are you going to give it back to me? But normally, no. Oh, coach, I went back and I looked up the answer. I was wrong on question 10, 11, and 12, and, well, on half the test. No, he can't. He can't give it back to me to change the answers. Let me help you out. When you give God something in prayer, that's what it's like. You can't keep going back and saying, oh, I need to take that and carry that. Wow, I've got such a headache. Man, my back hurts. Man, my feet hurt. When you give it to daddy, say, it's your test. I'm done. Then you hear the garbage. That's okay. I'm not taking the test back. It was a test, and I want to pass. Because what you did is you turned into God a blank test. The real test is, am I going to keep pulling that out of his hands? because I'm living the test. But submission is giving to that authority, to God. You see, our prayer time, it matters. Our prayer here, it matters. We're told in the New Testament to pray without ceasing, correct? How do you pray without stopping? Some of you, I've got to have the right atmosphere for prayer. I got to have candles, and I got to have my little incense burning over here, and I got to have praise music just floating. Good for you. What is prayer really? Communication to God. But it's usually about what? What do we call this? No, what we just did. The prayer. War on the floor. Because our prayer is spiritual warfare. How many of you have seen the opening scenes, at least, of Saving Private Ryan? I have. They say that is the closest description on film of warfare. So tell me, dear brother or sister, when the atmosphere got right to pray. When you just watched your best friend take a bullet. When you just watched an entire carrier disappear to the ocean. And 50 men were lost. Oh, but the atmosphere isn't right. The atmosphere isn't part of prayer. It's warfare. You have to be instant, in season and out of season. I knew a man who used to tell his junior leaders, you need to have a message ready at all times. I want you instant, in season and out of season. This message is fresh off the press. As of 8 o'clock this morning, that's instant, in season and out of season. Not walking around with notes. Because this is something I believe. I don't have to prepare for 6 months to give you a message. Because I believe in the power of prayer. I can't tell you how many times people will tell me, hey, pastor, I forgot to tell you this happened or that happened. And my goal is to get you to trust God like that. You need a financial breakthrough? Ask God. Go to God. I remember years ago, I think I said something about last week about, you know, there was a point, my old pickup truck is falling apart. It's not doing well. And I said, Lord, Pat had loaned me his truck to go to a meeting. I'm like, Lord, this truck's nice. Boy, it just cruised right up the road. And I said, Lord, I need my own vehicle. And I'm driving back. And I'm feeling this, and I said, Lord, I need a new vehicle. I said, I can't go to places. I can't do things. And he said, I never said you couldn't get the loan. Now all you, debt-free. Yeah, praise God, it's debt-free. I love being debt-free, but I'm not. But guess what? I don't worry about how things are going to get paid. Because I serve Jehovah Jireh, my provider. See, through the years when the church couldn't pay me, I worked. And I wasn't afraid to work, still not. Prefer not to have to work like that again. I'm at that age, we'll let the young bucks do all that. But I trusted God because I asked God. You've got to talk to God. You got to develop a relationship with God. Your relationship isn't going to be my relationship. Because, as I said this morning, Lord, if you could show me 1,000 ways. Well, just keep in mind, I'm seeing God this way. You're seeing him from another direction. You're seeing him through the eyes of your experience. You know, I'm going to use Monica. I know what she's been through, and she is seeing God provide, and she's really trust. God's really asked you to stretch. Quitting her job, Starting a business? How many of y'all ready to do that? Trust me, it takes something. Especially when you're thinking, I just want to make it to retirement. God will provide. Even Abraham. Why do you think Abraham was considered a father of our faith? It is great faith to him that he walked out of his land where his family had influence. His father was very influential to the king. He said, now you're going to go. When his daddy died, he said, now you're going to go. Get away from your family. Don't see where he said to take Lot. But he did. And he went up there and he said, now I'm going to take you to land that I will show you. And wherever your feet go, that is your territory. Ladies and gentlemen, the Israel we see today is not the Israel that they should be. But let me tell you a little something else. God just showed it to me as I'm about to go off on a personal opinion. Abraham had one son, right? Isaac, the son of promise. But the son of promise had two sons. One, we trace the bloodline to Jesus Christ. The other, the Arabs trace their lineage to, particularly Muslims. They all go back to Abraham. But they go through a different leg. Even the Muslims in Egypt claim the same father. So God did not lie. It belongs to Abraham. It doesn't belong to Israel, but it belongs to Abraham. He gave it to him. So many Muslims, so many Jews on the earth. Please stop and try to count. Because nowadays, it's pretty much just a faith. You want to become a Jew? Great. You just got to do all the stuff that they require and get accepted in, and you will be practicing Judaism. Same thing with Islam. All you got to do is practice. You got to convert. Christianity. Oh, wait a minute. There's a whole nother division of Abraham through the Jews. And in all of us, Abraham, as he's going up to offer Isaac, and Isaac's like, Daddy, you know, Pop, I see the, I don't know what I just stepped on. Oh, it's a water bottle. Sound like a pop can. I see we've got the coals for the fire. We got the knife. I got the wood right here. We built the altar. Pop, I don't see a lamb. And Abraham simply says, God will provide the sacrifice for his. God will provide this sacrifice. Wow. He spoke out in faith because he spent time talking to God. What do you think all those times were when he's like, Lord, is Eliezer going to get all my stuff? You promised me a child. And God said, come on outside, Abraham. Let's go. Look up at the stars. Remember, back then they didn't have light pollution. And when you can get somewhere where you have very little light pollution, the stars are glorious. By the way, have any of you seen Mars yet? It's in the western sky in the evening. It's red. We're driving down the road last night. I said, there's supposed to be some planets doing their thing here in the this month. And I said, I think that's Mars. Because they said it'll be the closest it'll be for a couple years. And you'll see it red. Abraham got to see that stuff too. And God said, that will be like your descendants. the sand between your toes. Abraham, you can't count it. It wasn't just any living group at any one time. It's the whole mass. When they left Israel, there was approximately 2 million by the time they crossed. They went in, 12, 13 patriarchs and their descendants. That was it. A few servants. And they walk out powerful. They walk out with the wealth. They didn't have to deceive anybody. God said, go borrow it. We're going for a 3-day journey. It's about a 3-day journey to where they crossed. Our prayer. When we pray for other people, when God puts on your heart right then and there to pray for somebody, you begin to pray. You pray. And don't keep pulling it off unless God has said you're not done praying. And you just start praying in the spirit and you go. And God will lift that burden when you've gotten to that point. I've had it personally with our war on the floor. We used to hold it in the afternoon on Sunday. And one day we came in, we was in the other building. And man, the power of God just hit me. And I was trying to pray. And it was just like, I began praying in the spirit. And I just laid down on the platform. And I prayed and I interceded. I had no idea why this burn was coming up. And I was praying and praying and praying. And then finally I felt it was done. Later that night, I would learn that a pastor I had just met, his wife went into labor. And she was having difficulties. That her and the baby may die. I just knew his name. I'd never even met his wife. That's what God will do. Our prayer, the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's not being sexist when it says man. Your prayers count. If God puts somebody on your heart, you pray for them. You intercede for them like your life depends on it, because it very well may. Times God has led me to pray for people in the ambulance just to find out it was a family member. My grandfather had a heart attack. And that was him going by. Didn't know until later that week. I heard a story by Jay Johns. And in the early to mid 1800s, there was a Scottish missionary who was sent to Africa from his church. And he did his business and he was doing all of it, and it was time to go back and report back to them and tell them what God was doing. And he came back to the congregation. It was a small congregation. And he stood up there in front of them and began telling them. And he said, you need to be on the mission field. You need to go on the mission field. But he said, honestly, I looked around and he said, there wasn't hardly one person in there who was capable, because they were elderly. They couldn't make the trip from Scotland to Africa and survive in Africa. And he said, who will go? Who will go? Who will go? And off in the corner was this little boy. He was the boy who pumped the organ. See, they had bellows on those. And he was the boy who kept the air flowing through that organ. And he said, I will. I will. I will. And the missionary looked at the little boy and he said, well, I'll tell you what, when you go, go as a doctor, because they need medical help. The little boy grew into a fine young man, went to medical school, did all of his schooling, and he kept that commitment he made that day. Dr. David Livingstone went to Africa. Dr. Livingstone, I presume. You've all heard the joke. I personally think of Abbott and Costello, but not knowing that he was a real evangelist. He was a real missionary. He was a real doctor. And he went and he helped people medically. He taught people about Jesus Christ. And one day he got this message from a warring tribe where he was at. And the chief had sent a message, says, "I'm coming to kill you tonight." Where's a white dude going to go in Africa? You don't know the terrain like the locals do. And you're probably not in the same shape. They all went to sleep that night. They woke up the next morning. They were still alive, no attack. There wasn't nothing they could do anyhow, so they refused to worry about it. Some time passed. Dr. Livingstone led that chief to the Lord. He accepted Jesus. And he said, "Chief, I have a question for you. Some time ago, I got a message from you saying you were going to kill me." He said, "Yeah, I was." He said, "What happened?" He said, "My entire warring tribe came to your camp that night. We had you surrounded, and we were going to go in and kill you. But when we got there," he said, "there were 39, because I counted them," he said, "39 large individuals surrounding your camp that we couldn't take." Dr. Livingstone was like, "Interesting." A little bit later on, as missionaries do, they go back to their home church. And mind you, this is the mid-1800s. Dr. Livingstone died in 1873 of malaria. He was born in 1813, so he was only 60. So he's traveling back and forth on boat. But after this incident, he went back home, and he's telling his the congregation there about the things God is doing and what took place. The church secretary was in there, and she said, "Do you remember what date this was?" He said, "Well, yeah, I can remember that one. I think somebody tells me they're going to kill me, I'm going to note it, right?" And so the church secretary went back to their logbook, and they recorded back then, they recorded everything that took place in the church. Who was there a lot of times? That's why sometimes in your family history, you'll find it. You can find old church books that record this stuff. She said, "Okay, so it was this date," and she went back to that date. And she said, "Dr. Livingstone, that night we had a prayer meeting here. There were 39 individuals. Do you think God doesn't hear our prayers?" He still had to walk it. He still had to go through it. But we want to stop that, don't we? We want to stop what's going on in California. I know I do. I've been to California. It is a beautiful state. The wickedness is a spiritual wickedness. But the state itself is beautiful. God has things that have happened. He's seen them. He knew they were going to happen. He knew the Holocaust was going to happen. He knew Hitler was going to be born. So many people said, "If you could go back in time and change one thing," so many people said, "I'd have gone back and killed Adolf Hitler before he had a chance." You know, when they would have killed him, he wasn't the murderer that he became. As a matter of fact, one of his best friends was a Jew. The coat that he wore was because that friend gave him that coat, because he was too poor. Something else took place. And I tried to read Mein Kampf, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's, forget it. God knew it was going to happen. But I could have saved all them. Yeah, by the sacrifice of those many, Israel has a land again. The compassion of the international community came out and said, Israel gets their land back. We have believers today that still think Israel is in the wrong. Dear brother or sister, you are in the wrong. Please change your course. Because God told Abraham, whoever blesses me, I will bless, and whoever curses me, I will curse. One thing I really don't need in my life is God cursing me. There's enough of that garbage going around from the enemy. Don't need to make God my enemy. But our prayers, corporately, I don't know what we've done. I really don't. I'll be excited to get to heaven. And somebody says, man, you remember, I know you prayed for me because my friend told me. But do you know what God did for me? It didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to be, but God turned it around. That's something I'm looking forward to. If it happens. If it happens. And maybe God will allow that stuff to happen. To realize the effect we have on other people's lives. Just in prayer. I don't have to take on your burdens. And I do not. I can't carry that much. God didn't bless me with linebacker shoulders. I got them tiny ones. But what he did do was teach me about prayer, about praying for people. They may have to go through some stuff, but God, go with them. Be with them. We all want Jesus to come in and stop the storm. Jesus was walking by them. Do you get it? He wasn't going to stop. They were sitting there with the same authority he had. They'd already seen it once. And they said, oh, no, we're not going to try that. That's voodoo or something. We just don't understand it. All Jesus did was, shh. No, but sometimes we got to have the right atmosphere. The wrong. The atmosphere for prayer is anytime. I don't care if you just stepped off the landing craft and there's bullets going around your head. You keep praying. You keep moving. And you make your prayer, don't just keep uttering nonsense. Jesus taught against that. Quit uttering these prayers that mean nothing. That was always that when I first got into the ministry, I was so heartbroken when I came across a book of prayer for ministers. I was not raised that way. What do you mean there is a book for every prayer? I watch MASH. Don't always agree with liberal agendas. But the priest, Father Mulcahy, I don't believe we have a prayer for that. You need somebody to write a prayer for you? Lord Jesus, help. But we've turned prayer time into a big elegant thing. Well, we must do this. Man, I'll tell you what, some of my prayer time been just crying out to him underneath a tree. Lord Jesus, I'm hurt. Cry out to God because your prayer is warfare for somebody else. They may be clinging to life. And if God brings it back to your mind and you pray and you leave it, don't keep saying, oh, here, I'm gonna take that prayer request, Lord, and I'm going to hold on to it a little bit longer. I just need to feel the burden. You don't need a burden. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's a difference between throwing all kinds of MREs and combat boots and stuff in the back of your pack and you're trying to walk like this. I could always tell the guys who stuffed their thing with newspapers. They were strolling along, just bebopping along. Everybody who actually had everything in their packs, they were humped over like this and dragging because the burden is heavy. He said, my burden is light. If you give it to him. If you keep taking it back, what's he going to do with it? You took it out of submission. You took it out of his authority. I put my kids in God's authority. When they became adults, I said, there you go. You're going to learn how to trust God on your own. You're going to know the God I know. And if you have to walk the path I walked, then you will do it. But I stand on my word with God that he said, they'll come back. Raise them how they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart. And FYI, if they do depart, they can come back. As long as you aren't a religious stick somewhere. But God's power moves through us in our prayer time. Doesn't matter if you spend an hour. Sometimes I've prayed for an hour. Sometimes I prayed for 5 minutes. And we were discussing this the other night about having difficulty going to sleep. And, you know, and I remember when Katie said she got the revelation, but I finally got it a while back too. It was like, because I used to feel so bad. I'd always lay down at night to pray and I'd fall asleep. And I felt so guilty. Why? Because religion taught us that when the disciples fell asleep praying, that they were in error. Jesus just needed some backup. This was not to be a lifelong of not ever falling asleep when you pray. Because, you know, when you're a young man and you're trying to pray, you're like, Lord God, especially if you're in the barracks and you're trying to pray, they really don't appreciate you talking in your sleep. And, Lord, I thank you for this day. What a way to go to sleep in the presence of my Father. Well, I fall asleep when I'm reading the Word. So be it. So be it. You read the Word, but I got the heck with your goals. God needs, he says he gives his beloved sweet sleep. How much better a good sleep can you get when you fell asleep reading his word? Unless you're reading Revelation, then you're probably going to have some funky dreams. Possibly even Ezekiel and Isaiah and some Daniel. But other than that, so don't be afraid if you fell asleep. Don't be afraid if you're driving down the road, you're in there washing your hair, and all of a sudden God says, pray for so-and-so. Oh, but Lord, I got to go get my prayer mat and my prayer shawl and my prayer book and my prayer rug and my prayer horns. That's called religion, and it's dead. There's a group, I can't remember their name. They're from the 80s, but they had a song, and it comes on my playlist. It's called Pray Where You Are. You can pray in the bank. You can pray in a tank. Just pray where you are. But people think that can't happen. Well, I need to be presentable. You know, I don't have any clothes on. Do you seriously think God sees your clothes? That's just so you can hide that jelly roll you ate over there. And I'm not going to lie, I was so envious of many of you. For the month, I have cut out a lot of sugar and carbs. So when I went to Golden Corral last night for a family get-together, I hit the fried chicken. I had the biggest salad I've had in a long time with bacon and ham and cheese. I was full, which, by the way, it's working. I've lost 5 pounds this week, just steadily. But boy, did I want, who got it? I think Michelle got it. I seen her walk away with that long john. Yeah. I was like, ooh, you're welcome. I was like, ooh, that's my favorite. I was wondering who was going to get it. It couldn't happen to somebody nicer. Pray. You see what's going on? You see these things coming up, and some of them are fake, just FYI. Some of them aren't. You see across social media. We have 2 missing people right now that I've seen have come across. Pray. Lord, if this be true, protect them. Help them to get away. And if they have done it, bring them to their senses and help authority find them. That's all you got to do. You don't have to carry the burden. I mean, if you're living in a fight, that's one thing. You're always going to be thinking, but you got to still give it to God. Here you go, Lord. I can't carry it. And when you think of that fight, Lord, it's in your hands. I put it in your hands. Grant me the peace to trust you. And as we do that, we have a full new year coming up. Lots of opportunities. The 20th doesn't change anything, really. But our prayers will. Our prayers is what's gotten us through this country, through this last 4 years. Good night, the last 25. We've had war, inflation, recession, inflation. Begin to not like the shuns. I say we shun the shuns. All right, let's stand. This week, be more observant to things going on around you. You see something? I will tell what we started doing. When we have our evening meal together, because, you know, you don't always eat as a family together. But when we sit down, we took our Christmas card. She had heard this from somebody else. Start all on the top. Each time you sit down to pray, you pray for that family that sent you that Christmas card. So if you didn't send me a Christmas card this year, well, just kidding. I will still pray for you. But that gives you somebody to pray for. People you haven't thought about. Lord, what are they going through? What are they doing good? Are they miserable? Do they want to die? Just pray and intercede for them. Because you never know what somebody else is going through. But you can see, and you can just say, Lord God, bless that car. Bless the people in that car. You know what? I know they cut me off. I know they just told me I'm number one with both hands. But bless them. Because last time I checked, my Bible says to bless your enemies. Do not curse. Bless them. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. Father, for the gift that we can come before you and talk to you. We can come anytime as we are covered in dirt or wearing our Sunday best. Lord, we can come before you boldly, knowing that you will answer, that you will move on the lives of people. So, Father, I thank you that for the prayer requests today, that you are moving in their lives. Father, that you are bringing about straight paths where paths have gone crooked. And, Lord, for all these people, I bless them today. Father, I thank you. You're moving in their lives. Father, you're strengthening their prayer life. Father, even if it's just bless them, Father, you will see the change in them. we will see their faith grow mightily, step by step. In Jesus' name, amen. I got my keys.